In the Congo, the deep open pit of the Mutanda mine, the world's largest cobalt mine, lay below me in the morning sun, quiet and still. Its terraced slopes were neatly cut, ordered like Chinese rice paddies. A lone truck moved along the bottom of the pit, looking as small as a car, though it was in fact 18 feet tall with massive diesel engines. Behind me, the mine site looked like a small chemical industrial facility in China, with arrays of conveyor belts, pipes and tanks, where copper rock was crushed, leached and processed to produce large, dull orange rectangles of metal that hung like clothes in a dry cleaner under a large hanger. The stiff copper was bundled together into packs that were placed on waiting lorries, which then drove to the port of Durban in South Africa. The cobalt was processed separately and dried into a dark green powder, cobalt hydroxide, that was bagged up and placed on different trucks driving the same route. The entire electric car industry was reliant on dozens of trucks that left the middle of Africa every day, driving along perilous roads across multiple borders to the coast. Sulfuric acid trucks came day and night in the other direction to feed the mine's insatiable demand for acid. A few months before my visit in February 2019, 18 people died when a truck carrying acid to Mutanda overturned. But the mine could not stop for any individual fatality. It ran 24 hours a day all year round, guarded by heavy security. Dogs milled around the entrance to the mine site before they prowled the perimeter for intruders, especially local miners who tried to break in and mine the rich ground themselves. Eric Best, an American executive who came from a family of copper miners in Arizona, placed a small bottle of the finished cobalt product on the desk in the quiet Mutanda office, which was set back behind a nicely manicured lawn. I stared at the fine dark green powder, the key for every electric car battery, the new prize for miners. It looked more like a colourful powder in a school chemistry set. Best opened up PowerPoint, but showed little enthusiasm for delivering a presentation. The mine had been besieged with so many visitors over the past few years due to the cobalt boom. NGOs, car companies and Glencore management. Mutanda was a geological rarity in the area, a mine spectacularly rich in cobalt. Its ratio of cobalt to copper was 2-1, whereas most mines in the Congolese copper belt were 10-1, Mark Kenwright, one of the original geologists who helped examine the deposit for Glencore, told me. After rushing through his presentation, Best asked if I had any questions. But there were rules, of course. One thing he didn't want to talk about was the mine's history or how Glencore got this rich deposit. Yet the history is evident at the mine site. On the rim of the mine, a few lone trees stood silhouetted starkly against the brilliant blue sky. Over to one corner, I saw some boulders and one of the distinctive orange tarpaulins found in the area that signify someone mining for cobalt by hand. That's where the original artisanal mine was, a young bearded Englishman who works at Mutanda told me, using the term for illegal hand diggers. In the beginning, there was no vast hole in the ground or industrial mining site. Just groups of local diggers mining and washing cobalt and copper as they had done for thousands of years. It was a telling remark reflecting the deeper story of the Congo, where rich deposits of copper and cobalt have been transferred to foreign mining companies who pay millions of dollars in taxes and royalties that get sent to Kinshasa, the capital, over 800 miles away. The money often ends up in the pockets of the political elite, and little of it ever comes back, even though natural resources are the country's main export.